says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This morning I want to use the text there in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I call this the blood of the cross. We preach why the cross, and we preach the purpose of the cross. And this morning, the blood of the cross. The Bible has a lot of things to say about what God has done for us that are saved. The Bible has a lot to say about what God is going to do for us that are saved in the future. But all the things that God has done and all the things that God is going to do is all based on the blood of the cross of Calvary. One time there was a woman, Mary Baker Eddy, and she wrote a book called The Science and Help. And she had some great statements to say about faith. You know, if you were a poet, they would probably be real nice to read. But she also said that the blood of Jesus Christ had no more power to atone for sin than any other man. But folks, let me tell you something this morning. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, the payment for sin, that's a devil religion. See? Now in these verses I've read you this morning, I see three things that the blood does. Number one, in verse 14, the Bible says we're redeemed by the blood. Number two, in verse 20, the Bible said we've made peace through the blood. And verse 21, the Bible said we were reconciled by the blood. Nothing is secure this morning with God without the blood. Amen. I mean, God don't offer the world no remedy for sin but the blood of Calvary's cross. And that blood this morning has the same power that was shed on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago that it had then. The blood hadn't lost the power, folks. Amen. I mean, that's the only thing that'll do it. See? When man sinned back there in the Garden of Eden, God only presented one remedy. He said one day the seed of the woman. The seed of woman was the virgin birth of Christ. The virgin birth of Christ meant the death of Christ. And the death of Christ meant he shed his blood for man's sin. No man has ever done nothing that'll atone for sin and never will. Of all the greatness of man and all the ability of man and all the achievements of man and all the inventions of man, man has never done nothing about sin. Never will. Huh? Now the Bible says in verse 14, it says, through his blood we have redemption. Now let me make something real clear right there. Redemption doesn't mean remission. Remission means forgiveness. God forgave sins long time before Mount Calvary. But there was never no redemption till the blood was shed. Never was. That means these people that's quoting Acts 2:38 is going to hell. Now I know that probably went against a bunch, but it don't really matter. God didn't call us to agree. No, He just told us to tell you what it says. But the blood of Christ not only meant a payment for sin, the blood of Christ paid the price for a sinner. I'm glad of that this morning. I mean, the Bible said that we were sold unto sin. We was a slave to sin, in bonds to sin. Now you got today, you know, everybody wants to be free. Boy, that's the big thing today. Man, we want our freedom. We demand our rights. Blah, 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 you know. I mean, this bunch of queers, they want their freedom. You know, this women, they want their freedom. And the churches, they want their freedom. That means they don't want no authority. Don't tell us what to do, preacher. We don't want it. Somebody wrote a song, said, me and Jesus got our own thing. We don't need no preacher to tell us what it's all about. Amen. That's the attitude they got. They want to be free. That means nobody tells me what to do. Nobody rules me. Well, they talk like that. That crowd talks like this while they enslave their soul to sin. Huh? I mean, sin makes you a slave. Sin has never set nobody free, and it never will. Let me read you a verse back here in Romans. I think I can quote it, but I want to read it. Romans chapter 6. And Paul, when he wrote there, he said in verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. And notice he said, to whom you obey, whether a sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now notice there, there's two kinds of servants you can be. You can be a servant to sin, amen, or you can be a servant to righteousness. Now look at verse 17, he says, but God be thanked. Now he's talking to some people that got saved, that you were the servants of sin. Before you got saved, you was a servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you from being a servant of sin. Now verse 18 says this, being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. And listen to this illustration, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now folks, what this is saying here is this, that we are delivered from the servants of sin and being made able to yield ourselves servants to righteousness by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. No unsaved man can yield to be a servant of righteousness. He serves sin whether he likes it or not. Through his blood we have redemption. Amen? I read a story one time about an old man who was about 70-something years old. I don't remember. He was over 70 years old. He'd been enslaved by sin all his life. Sin had crippled his body and he was just about gone, but this old 70-year-old man lived in this world 70 years enslaved by sin, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. During the course of that, he only lived about a few weeks after that. Right before he died, he realized this. He said this. He said, the devil held a mortgage on my soul, and he was about to foreclose. Folks, the devil holds a mortgage on every unsaved soul this morning. Let me tell you something. If he ever forecloses, you will never be redeemed. He forecloses every day. You go in a pawn shop, I'm sure you ever went there. You go in there with a certain item and they'll take the item and give you some money for it and they'll give you a ticket. And you can go back with that ticket and pay the price and you can redeem that thing that was put in hock. I mean, you ever done that? And that's exactly the way we was and what Paul is saying in Romans 16. We was in the devil's pawn shop. Our soul was pawned it to him. And one day Jesus walked in with the ticket. He said, I want to redeem him. The devil said, you got the price. He said, I paid the price. It's blood. Glory to God. I better look out. I'm going to start running here in a minute.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood to be servants of righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. And the Bible says there in Colossians, we go back to the text there in verse 1, verse 20. The Bible said, made peace through the blood of his cross. I mean, we have peace this morning because he made peace on the cross. Huh? The Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. When everything is committed to him, we have peace. Now back your Bible up there about one thing. I want to show you something the Bible said in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and listen to this, verse 7. The Bible says, and the peace of God. Huh? I didn't say the United Nations peace. I didn't say the peace of our Congress. The Bible said the peace of God was passeth all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Sometimes that peace is better than understanding. Amen? I mean, you know, God's able to give us a peace in circumstances we can't believe. I mean, how in the world can anybody have peace in the world today? Look at the condition this mess is in. He said, I don't understand that peace. I don't either, but I'm glad it's there.
Amen.
I know where it come from, too.
Right.
Huh? The Bible says the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now, I'm going to show you something right here. I'm going to get a little critical now. I'm trying to be sweet this morning, but I'm going to show you something. A lot of folks this morning don't have that peace. It's not because that peace hadn't been made, because it was. It's not because that peace is not available, because it is. But I'm going to show you why they don't have it. Look up there in verse 18. The Bible said, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Huh? The Bible said that he's the head. Not you.
Amen.
Not you. And he might have the premise. In Philippians 2:10, listen to this. Philippians 2:10, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. See, what that's saying is that Everything that we have, everything we are, everything we do should come under Jesus. Huh? I mean, that's your job. That's your home life. That's your time. That's your marriage. That's your social life. Folks, you won't have peace that we're talking about here until you get the peacemaker in the right place of your life. Hmm? I mean, if Jesus Christ is not in the right place of your life, and that's first place, he won't be nowhere else, you won't know this peace, and you won't be able to understand. You won't have this peace without the understanding. A lot of people try to find this peace, try to work it up, and buy it up. Some of them think, well, if I just get a certain amount of money, I'll be all right. I mean, them people are the most miserable people. That's why I'm happy I ain't got nothing. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, things. I mean, there's a lot of people this morning got things that have turned them from the wrong thing and doing the right thing. See? God help you when things get more control of you than Jesus Christ does. So the Bible says that we have peace. Amen? Peace. As long as He is given the preeminence. Now, preeminence is a word, and here's what it means. It means superior and excellently, and it also means in honor and virtue. That means that Christ should be superior to anything in your life, and Christ should hold more honor and more virtue in your life than anybody else. Huh? You say, why should it be that? Because it was through His blood that was shed that made you become a servant of righteousness rather than a servant of sin. You was a slave to sin before you was redeemed by blood. If you're not redeemed by blood, let me say this to you, you're still a slave to sin. Now, not only does the blood redeem us and give us peace, look there in verse 21, the Bible says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Notice there, that covers the past and the present. The Bible says at one time you was alienated and enemies in your mind, and you proved it by your wicked works. Huh? So I said, I'm not sure whether they're saved or not. So the way some people live is hard to tell, isn't it? Especially if you don't know what the Bible says. But, folks, let me show you something. What this is talking about, it's talking about in verse 21, it says, and you were, that means before you got saved. Before you got saved, you was alienated and an enemy in God, and you proved it by the wicked way you lived. Huh? Like I said, boy, if you really believe that, you like I said, you don't find too many people today that got no real assurance or nothing about salvation, do you? I know you're saved by grace. I know you're not saved by what you do. I know all that. Don't tell them. Don't try to make an Armenian out of me. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You ain't getting redeemed by blood and nothing happened in your life. Ain't nobody ever got redeemed by the blood of the cross of Calvary and kept on the same old sinful rut they was before. I don't believe that. Now let me show you something what I'm talking about. Let's take our Bible and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let me substantiate a few things I've already said now to maybe help you get over this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul give a little dissertation here on separation. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, 9. And Paul said this, I wrote unto you an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Huh? Now this is the chapter where there's a man in the church having an affair with his stepmother. And Paul said, I told you don't have no company with that bird. You know? Now look at verse 10. Yea, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must be need go out of this world. But I have written unto you to keep company if any man that is called a brother. You notice that? He said, if there's somebody in the church that says he's saved, and a lot of them do, amen. If he be a fornicator, or covetousness, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard. Look out, Billy Graham. Billy Graham says he don't see nothing wrong with having a little drink because the Bible don't say nothing about it. I wonder what kind of Bible he's got. You listening? According to what I'm reading, you, a drunk is a wicked person. The Bible says a drunk or an extortioner was such as one know not to eat. Don't fellowship with him. And listen to what Paul said. For what have I to do to judge them? Oh, so that I without. Paul said, no need for me to judge people like this. They without the Lord. Why judge an unsaved man, folks? He's going to hell. Why draw the line on him? God take care of that. So I said, you're judging. If you're not saved, I don't have to judge you. It's already taken care of. God's got hell waiting for you. You don't get to cross the Calvary and get redeemed by the blood. Hell's waiting for you. I don't care what I say about you.
Amen.
Says, do you not judge them that are within? Now listen to this, verse 13. But them that are without, those that are unsaved, God judges. Wherefore, the Christian, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know what it's saying? I'm going to make it real clear. It's saying this, that people that live up there like verse 11 just need to get saved, that's all. Just need to get saved. They alienated in their mind, they enemies of God, and they prove it by the way they live. Somebody said, preacher, you judging. Well, call it what you want, honey, but read it. It's there in the Bible, amen? And the Bible said back there in Colossians that when we live like that, we were reconciled to God by the blood of His cross. See? I mean, the reason wicked people commit wicked works, you know why? It's because they are that wicked one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 23. Amen. Verse 13. Huh? Let me show you something else. Thessalonians. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians 3, I believe it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look there at verse 2. Second Thessalonians 3, 2. Listen to this. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Huh? Now, folks, listen. What the Bible is saying, there's several more scriptures I could cover on this. But I'm going to put it all together in this. What this is talking about, this is how unsaved people live. This is what unsaved people are. And the only thing that's going to ever do anything about that is the blood of the cross. Amen? Now, if we're living in a world that's that messed up in that condition, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, that ought to be preached more than what you hear. I mean, we don't need healing and faith and gimme, gimme and all this junk. Folks just need to hear about the blood that redeems them from this kind of a life. Amen? I notice there it said we're reconciled to God. Now, man is the one that's reconciled, not God. Reconcile means to change. I mean, God ain't got to change. I mean, we need to change. Amen? Now, let me show you something. Let me show you that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just a minute. 2 Corinthians 5. That's on page 1233 if you want to stay with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 17, old familiar verse, you ought to know. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Now this, in this chapter, the chapter of verse 14 on through, Paul explains what reconciliation is. And we see in this thing that there's, that reconciliation produces four new things. Four new things. Look at verse 14. It produces a new love. Huh? In verse 16, it produces a new man. In verse 17, it produces a new creature. And in verse 18, it produces a new ministry. That's all by the blood that we're talking about right now. Now listen here, folks. Listen to me. Reconciliation don't cause a church to have a so-called Christian rock and sell tapes at any Christian bookstore in Fort Myers for $7 and $8 at the door, like the McGregor Baptist Church is going to do Halloween. Who else but a Southern Baptist would agree to something like that? For let me tell you something. That ain't got nothing to do with the cross. That's a bunch of wicked people living like hell. And you know what the world, that's what the world thinks that Christianity is today. Christianity is somebody that's reconciled to God by the blood of the cross. It ain't got nothing to do with no junk like that. Amen. Christian rock. That'd make the devil puke.
Amen.
Christian rock. You know what's the matter? Them people ain't never heard about what I'm preaching this morning. Let alone know anything about it. Alienated in your mind and enemies by wicked works. There's all that is. I said, why you call yourself independent? I just told you. Don't identify me with that garbage. I'm a saved Bible believer. I've been redeemed by the blood of the cross. I've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. I ain't got nothing to do with that junk. I don't like you, preacher. Then shut up. Amen? I don't like you either.
Amen.
Now we got something. Now we got a mutual agreement so we can get along. Amen?
Amen.
I noticed something in 2 Corinthians 5:14 there. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constrains us. Folks, notice this. Notice this, that what controlled Paul's life was the cross. He knew that God saved him by the cross, and he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Tell you something, folks, you can't be saved and know you're saved and know what it took to save you and agree with some of this junk that goes on today. Huh? Paul knew that it was Christ's death on the cross that saved him from a religion that was taking him to hell. He knew that. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, Bible says, in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world. And then He tells the reason that God sent His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him. Folks, the only way to be saved this morning is through the blood of Christ that died on the cross. And that's what changed Paul. That's what changed him. That's what made him say this. That's what carried him on and on and on beyond human reasoning. They beat him, threatened him. He never would even let up, because he knew where he was. He knew what he was. He knew he was in a religion that was carrying him to the fires of hell. And he knew what God did to keep him out of that. He didn't turn and start loving garbage music and rock and roll music and religious rituals and big Sundays and chicken dinners. He started loving God. Amen? Tell you something this morning, folks. If Christ hadn't have sent His only begotten Son in the world, every one of us be on the way to hell and couldn't do one thing about it. And couldn't help nobody else. We couldn't say nothing be worth saying. Wouldn't know nothing worth saying or nothing else. And let me tell you something this morning. The life of a Christian, if you know that, if you know that and you realize what it took to save you, that makes you a new creature in Christ. Huh? That gives you new values and new motives and new love with a new destination.
Right.
The blood of the cross. The blood of the cross reconciles a sinner to God. And that word reconciliation, it really means one in agreement, but the definition of it is a renewal of friendship after disagreement or enemy. And it also means where sinners are brought to a state of favor with God. Huh? Now, let me tell you something this morning. There ain't nothing going to bring a hell-bound sinner in a state of favor with God but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you can join all the church you want to and get all the baptized you want. You can talk in tongues. You can do all the garbage they're doing today. But if you ain't been to Calvary's cross and been redeemed by the blood, you're not in favor with God.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing that'll settle the sin problem. I mean, you know something I understand? How do people quit talking and thinking about somebody that done something that great for the whole world? They talk about all the great men, the inventions and all this, the Hall of Fame, and you pick up the paper and you see all this great man, this great woman, blah, blah, blah. Nobody never done nothing like Jesus done. They don't even hold a candle to what he done. Nobody brags on him. Nobody does nothing about it. Even the preachers have shut up about it. They think it's better to come to church and tithe than it is to get to know you're saved. Get an education rather than believe the Bible. I'm going to tell you something, if your sin not under the blood, you're lost. And I'm going to tell you something else. If your sin's under the blood, the devil can't find it, and God ain't looking for it. Amen? Bible said there in 2 Corinthians there, he said in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Huh? That's pretty strong, isn't it? The Bible says that when a man is saved, he won't live to himself. He'll live to the one that saved him. Amen? I mean, listen, folks, before you got saved, you know how you lived? You lived to yourself and for yourself, and did everything you wanted to do, exactly when you wanted to do it, and how you wanted to do it, and you didn't care whether people liked it or didn't like it. And a lot of you folks, you still in churches, and that's the way you live right on. The blood of the Christ, the blood of the cross this morning, was God showing the world two things. Showing the world, number one, that he didn't want you to spend eternity in the fires of hell. Number two, he was showing the world that he wants you to come to a place of peace and a place of joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know something, with all that made known, with a Bible that we can get, with a Savior that we can have, with all the promises of heaven in God's book, with all the glories of heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ, people will still sit back in most churches trying to satisfy and please no dirt-bound, worm-food, sinful, corruptible flesh. Huh? Paul said there that all things are of God. I reckon they are. If it wasn't for God, there wouldn't be nothing worth having. The Bible said, over there, read in Colossians, where all things are made by him and by all things consist. Yeah. Let me show you another place in Romans. Show you something else that God did for us that has to do with the blood. In Romans chapter 3, Paul gave an exhortation on what the book of Romans is about. The book of Romans deals with the righteousness of God. And folks, that's what the world needs today. The answer for every problem we have this morning is the righteousness of God. Amen. Now, here he tells how God's righteousness is made available. And note Romans verse 3 and verse 21, he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, I'm not going to go into all that, but it simply means this. He's talking about the difference in the Jews that had the law and the Gentiles that didn't. And he said, when it comes to the righteousness of God, there wasn't no difference. Didn't either one of them have it. Amen? Right. I could say this morning, I could stand up and make the same application. I'd say all them people that's saturated down here at the church building that ain't saved, ain't no different from that crowd out here in the bars. Ain't neither one of them got God's righteousness. They both lost, going to hell. Then he said in verse 23, he tells why they don't have God's righteousness. "For all have sinned." He didn't say all is going to sin. He said all have already done it. And come short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God there? It's the righteousness of God. Everybody's come short of God's righteousness. Ain't nobody met the standard of God's righteousness. It never was but one man that met that standard, and that was Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 24. It says, "Been justified freely." Freely. That's the word the devil hates, boy. That's the word the devil can't stand. That's the one they don't like. That's why they want to get you baptized and get you to talk in tongues and get you to sign up and join up and go to confession and all this junk. They hate that word freely, folks. It don't take none of that to get God's righteousness. Say, how you know? I'm going to read it to you. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." How is a man justified? How does a man get God's righteousness? Well, he gets it through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Well, preacher, how you know that's right? How does God do that? Well, let me read the next verse and I'll show you how He does it. "Whom God set forth." Notice that, I like that. "Whom God set forth." Never mind your religion. Amen. Never mind your good deeds. Never mind your sacraments. Never mind your golden rules. The Bible said God set this thing forth. Amen. "Whom God set forth to be a propitiation." Now, propitiation means to pay. It means to satisfy. Amen. "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." That's how it's done, folks. There's the basis of what God does, is through the blood. That's the means where God justifies and declares a sinner righteous, is through the blood. Amen? "Whom God set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness." There's how God does it. God declares His righteousness on the basis of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross. And God ain't declared His righteousness no other way. Now you can try your religion if you want to, and the devil will get your soul in hell. You say, "Preacher, my religion is good as yours. It's probably better than mine. I ain't got one. I got a Savior." Amen. When I got saved, I dumped the religion I had, because I found out I didn't need it. Amen. I mean, I get the land, I don't need my boat. Amen. I just needed my boat when I was out there in the water. When you look funny rowing a boat down 27 out there. That's about like, that ain't no fun. Some of you people think you're going to get to heaven without the blood of Christ. Huh? You might get on 75 and try to row your boat to New York somewhere. Now look at here. Look at verse 26. I've always liked this verse. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say at this time. This time now is talking about since Christ shed his blood. Amen. It ain't talking about the Old Testament. It's talking about since Christ shed his blood. To declare at this time his righteousness.
See?
See, God wants to declare his righteousness to everybody. And he tells you how he does it. And he tells you on the basis of what he does it. And he says this. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, not yours.
Amen.
Not yours. Amen. We don't need yours. We need his. Amen. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let me show you something. You know what that's saying? God is holy and God is righteous. There's no doubt about that. And what it's saying is, how can God, that's holy and just and sinless, declare an old worthless sinner justify sin without violating the attributes of his own holiness and his own righteousness? See? It'd be like if you went before a judge, and the judge is there to uphold the law he's supposed to represent. And the judge said, well, you did something, but I'm going to let you go without meeting the demands of the law. He violated his own purpose. Amen? I mean, if God let a sinner go without some basis to do it, he'd violate his own holiness. Amen? Now, there wasn't but one way God could do that. And that's just what he done. That's God himself become a man.
Amen.
Like Jesus Christ did. Amen. And die on the cross like he did. And shed his blood like he did. And he said, you justified cause of the blood. He's still just. He's still holy and righteous when he justifies an ungodly sinner that never was just or never could be righteous. Boy, ain't God great. Who else could do something like that? And that's God's way. That's God's plan. God's plan, everything God does, everything that God is going to do is based on one thing. It's based on that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for the saved people. And apart from that, God hadn't done nothing. God's not going to do nothing. Ain't nobody going to get saved. Ain't nobody going to get blessed. Ain't nobody going to get peace. Ain't nobody going to get reconciled except through the blood of that cross. Amen. And the Bible says there in verse 21, it's Colossians, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Back there when you was an enemy of God, you was alienated from God, and you lived like hell, God shed his blood to bring you into fold and make you one with God. Well, somebody told me back when I was a young man, one day you'll get saved and preach. We'd probably have the biggest fist fight you ever saw in your life. You know why? Because that was the last thing in the world I was thinking about was doing something for God.
Amen.
I had two or three things on my... I love to go in bars. I love fights. I love to drink and raise hell. That's what I like to do. You know why I did that? Because I was alienated from God and an enemy of God, and I proved it by the stinking sour life I lived. Amen. And that's what people are doing. They don't want God. They're an enemy of God. And they prove it by the life they live. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The blood's been shed that they can come in and be reconciled to God. And a lot of them ain't never heard about that. There's a many old drunk that lay in his own puke last night. They ain't never heard about the blood of the cross. He went to some of these churches and all he's seen is a little sermonette, some little Christianette right in the back door smoke a cigarette. And he ain't never heard about the blood of Christ. Amen. I guarantee you turn around and listen to that Church of Christ preacher, you won't hear about the blood, you hear about the water. Amen? You know why? Because he don't know nothing about it. He's in a religion that's going to send him to hell. Somebody told me, I said, I got to go see the priest. What are you going to see him for? Y'all going to hell together? You better get to Calvary. Bible said in verse 22, in the body of his flesh, that's how he done it. That's how God done it. God become a man in a body of flesh just like me and just like you. The only thing about it, His blood was sinless. His blood wasn't rotten and corrupt like yours and mine. His blood couldn't get cancers. His blood didn't deteriorate. His blood was pure and holy. His blood paid the price for my sin. Glory to God. Folks, that's what we need. The Bible said there in verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death. Now this is future. See? We've been reconciled to God. That's already happened. But there's something future that's going to happen.